Stage lights cold as a winter rain. One breath, one prayer, then the world went strange. Crowd froze up when the thunder cracked. Truth on a mic and a life attacked. He talked about hope in a storming land. Bible in the heart and a promise in his hands. But a shadow reached from a coward's perch. Cut down a sun in the middle of church. And I swear if the tables turned the other way, y'all know there'd be fires in the streets today. But here we stand with candles and a folded flag, begging God for mercy on the road we drag. How dare they steal the breath from a faithful man? How dare they stain the grass where his boots once stand? They call us evil, point at our cross, then pull that trigger and reckon no cost. If it were theirs, there'd be sirens and flames, but we're praying for truth while we whisper his name. Charlie, we ain't letting go of your hand.
Thought we would do it at the top of the second hour, too. Sorry about that. Didn't realize our...
We will have Sharon one moment.
We will? Oh, okay. We were having a little scramble there. Sharon was tied up or something after talking to Nils. I don't know.
MIA.
We were texting and calling in a panic. What's happening? Anyway, so let's put Sharon's bio up here for the people who haven't heard her. She's been on here before. She is with an organization called WOLF, W-O-L-F, the Women's Liberation Front. Sharon Byrne is a nonprofit and government relations expert with over two decades of advocacy leadership experience. She brings to WOLF vital community building experience connections, currently serves as the president of the Santa Barbara United Nations Association, served as a delegate to the UN Conference on Status of Women and the Generation Equity Forums. So now you're thinking, like, this lady sounds like a crazy liberal. This is like a 1960s women's lib thing. No. No, actually, it's not. The Women's Liberation Front fights in the front lines of feminism and not the bad kind that you're thinking of. This is about transgenderism. That was really the genesis of how they started in the early 90s. And we have done a bunch of shows with her, actually. You might want to check on wethepeopleradio.us. You can find that under the transgender tab up there. We've done some shows with her. And they defend women who are trapped in women's prisons with men pretending to be women and a whole host of other things. But we'll let her tell you about that. And oddly enough, had her booked quite a while ago. We've been going around and around and around on the dates, and just so happens was on the weekend right after the Charlie Kirk assassination, at which point we thought, gee whiz, I wonder if the transgender thing is involved in this too. And shazam, there it is again. Sharon, I had already titled this show like weeks ago, waiting for this to land, Trans Rights Are Killing Us. Little did I know.
Oh, my God.
I know.
What about the irony there?
I know. I almost changed it because I thought, wow, that's kind of horrible and shocking. But I thought, it is horrible and shocking, and I guess we should just say it.
It is. I mean, if we just back up a little bit, you know, Aaron, it has been the most insane week, right, for a lot of reasons. You know, when I got up Wednesday morning, my mom was in a complete meltdown. She said, oh, my God, Putin sent drones over into Poland, right? And, you know, here comes the start of World War III, right? That was that was Wednesday morning, right?
Like,
we were looking like, you know, it looked very much like World War III was going to try to crank up, right? And everybody knows that when you get involved in massive wars in Europe, everybody else gets involved in them too, right? So, like, it kind of engulfs everybody. This is not a good thing. I'm sure Putin was just testing NATO's defenses, but it rattled everybody, right? And NATO responded appropriately, but people are rattled, right? That was Wednesday morning. Literally, at 11, right, is when I found out that Charlie Kirk had first been shot. And, of course, the videos were circulating like mad. And then I, as soon as I saw the video, I knew there was no way he was going to survive. And he was announced dead, you know, an hour later. And this is, you know, as a feminist, Charlie Kirk and I weren't on the same page, you know, on some things, right, as you can imagine. But I did appreciate that he, like us, had problems with men calling themselves women. He knew this was all bad news. And it was stupid, and, you know, he was very much on our side on that. And he also actually opposed commercial surrogacy, which we oppose. So, you know, you can always find common cause, you know, with folks on things, even if you're not coming from the same, you know, political backgrounds or what have you. And, you know, we're nonpartisan anyway. We work with everybody. But I think I was in a state of shock all day Wednesday. Absolute state of shock. And, you know, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal both ran with the bullet engravings and saying it had something to do with trans.
Yeah.
They retracted that, but no, they were wrong. It was gaming memes, right? And I don't spend any time in gamer land, and probably you don't either, so
yeah,
all that went over my head, but that's where that came out of. But then on Saturday it broke that I guess he had a transgender furry roommate, right? And one
oh
of the
God,
engravings.
It was a furry too?
Yeah, one of the engravings definitely. The oh, whoa, notice that bulge, right? That was definitely a reference to furries, right? Which is loosely affiliated with the trans stuff. So, you know, what you can say is he's 22, the kid that did this, if it was him. And I still don't know for 100% that it is, right? That's the other thing about this. They all moved so fast. You probably saw that they had put up no less than 3 suspects on social media, none of which turned out to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
We were all wrong, right? So, you know, one thing I learned on Wednesday for sure is the media couldn't get it right, and social media certainly couldn't get it right, right? Like, there was just, we got red herrings all over the place. But there were people that I talked to from both sides of the aisle, I'm sure you did too, and we all felt a lot of shock and kind of horror over this, like Charlie or not, you know, thought he was great or not. You know, something terrible has happened, and it really shook, I would say, the collective consciousness. Is that kind of what you picked up too?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, he was speaking. He didn't have people tied to a chair and yelling at them. He went to college campuses and invited discussion. If you didn't want to be part of it, you didn't have to go. It wasn't
exactly
like he had a captive audience. I mean, but he didn't belittle. He didn't shame anybody. He didn't call them names or swear at them or kill their microphone. He was really a calm and measured and sensible person. And if he didn't agree, it wasn't like he got mad. It's like, okay, he just wasn't changing his mind. And for that, you shoot somebody?
Yeah, this went. This really shook everybody. I mean, it really shook people, you know, I'd say across the spectrum. It feels different. It feels like something's really changed, you know, and I gotta tell you, I'm sitting here in lovely Santa Barbara where, you know, Elliot Rodger went and shot up, you know, the University of California, cause he was so mad that girls wouldn't give him sex after he'd been hanging out with the boys in his chat rooms. Remember that?
No.
First time I'd ever heard the word
insult. Say that again? Which one was this?
Back in 2014, a young guy went up to the University of California at Santa Barbara and shot 5 people dead. Did a mass shooting, right? And then shot himself. It was Elliot Rodger. And it was the first time that we were like, what is with this young guy? You know, why this young guy, right? Why was he so angry? And our county sheriff, who's great, Sheriff Bill Brown, he read Elliot's manifesto. And it was just full of hate and vitriol and rage at women for not giving him sex. Because he'd been hanging out in these chat rooms, called the Manosphere, I guess, where they'd all told him that you got to get game and then you'll get girls. And so he was very angry with women, and this was the first time we'd ever heard the term incel, involuntary celibate. Remember that?
Yeah.
So,
forgot about that.
11 years later, I see another young guy, you know, out of nowhere, shooting Charlie Kirk. Doesn't like what Charlie has to say, I guess, whatever. And, you know, he's 22, and we've had a lot of, I want to say, brain development experts that have come out in recent years saying, man, your brain is not fully formed until 25. You're not going to understand context and nuance. So if you're in the online world for hours a day just eating all the garbage that the online world can throw at you, you don't have, like, say, the kind of self-defense mechanisms you and I have, Aaron, you know, after years of arguing with people and building up a worldview, right? Like, the younger people don't have that yet. They don't have it. And there's a reason, like, the U.S. Army loves to get you as a young man and send you off to war before you're 25, because they also know your brain's not done. And they know that you don't understand your own mortality or the fact that you could be maimed for life, right? So, like, it's well known that, you know, young people need some time to develop. I was just chatting with a newspaper editor here about an hour ago, and he was commenting on the fact that he had been noticing for years the toxic messaging that we've been giving young boys in this country as they develop. And I completely agree. You know, telling them they're all a bunch of colonizing white supremacists is really not going to produce a lot of great mental health, don't you think? It's probably not going to lead to happy places.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I think about that kind of toxic brew all stirring around in there, and, you know, you got as many guns you can get your hands on in Utah, I cannot imagine how bad things aren't going to happen, right? Like, I don't want to monster this kid, you know, at 22 and say, oh, he's the most terrible thing on the planet. I don't want to do that, but I can see the poison trail to how he got here. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, because you can, there was a, I don't spend a huge amount of time on social media, but somebody had sent me a link, and then, you know, there's always some other thing that pops up to try to suck away your time. But it was actually a picture of him, it was a post his mom did back in 2020, and she's like, here's my son, and he looked just like this really clean-cut kid, right? Here's my son, and he's got a 4.0, and he's doing so well, and all this stuff, and you think, dang, 5 years later? He's looking at, you know, he's facing the needle or whatever they do over there.
Yeah, and again, he's 22, you know.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, what the heck was he looking at? What world was he, you know, in? What material was he consuming? You know, the fact that even the FBI and the alcohol, tobacco, firearms guys did not know what those gaming memes meant, right? Those kids are moving in some world that the rest of us are not navigating. And we don't know they're saying to each other in there, but whatever it was, you know, he certainly got a poison pill, right? And he turned around and carried it out. In the early days, the early minutes, I mean, I will tell you, you know, you're a woman who does news, so you know this, you know, there's headlines that you run with and you vet your sources and blah, 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 right? And I literally watched major media like the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times run with a headline, have to collapse, retract within 5 hours, you know, like,
yeah,
nobody could get the story right, right?
So they've, like, gotten that kind of. They've been doing that lately. It's almost like the rush to judgment is.
They have to be first.
That's the thing. It's a race, and somehow being wrong is no longer seen as a bad thing.
I 1,000% agree with you. I think that the major error that's being made right now is this rush to judgment. Like, everybody wants to run in first and capitalize, you know, monetize their social media accounts. I was the first one to say it, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I think the rush to judgment was really bad here, because at first it was, he's trans, and it was, no, actually, that's not true, he's a gamer. Okay, then he's a rabid leftist. No, he has a Republican family. Okay, well, then he got radicalized at university. He was there one freaking quarter in 2021, and it's a conservative university. He was at a VOTEC school. Are they hotbeds now of, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, but he was there for one, like, I mean, he was there for a minute.
Yeah, right? So it's like, you know, something else got to this kid, right? Something else. And everybody's very, very quick to do all this judging. I don't know what the something else is, because I don't know the kid, and I didn't inhabit the world that he's been hanging out in. But some snippets have come out enough to get somewhat of a picture. But, yeah, we poisoned that guy somehow in the culture. And I take, you know, responsibility for that, too, that somehow or another there's this culture that's very toxic, and he got caught in it, and then he did something really horrible. And, he's a young guy, and, you know, I wasn't dumb when I was 22, but I wasn't as smart as I am now, for sure. And I thought I knew things back then that clearly were wrong, you know. And also, you know, when I was very young, I listened to U2, and I thought I was going to grow up and join the IRA and become a terrorist, right? And I was 15. You know, so we're all capable of being young and stupid, is what I'm trying to say. But I don't want to be so fast to damn him. I really do want to, what he did is a terrible thing, but what I want to, if it was him, again, I'm still not 1,000% sure. I don't have a definitive yet, right? But I want to understand, like, what is the toxic brew that got you there? And how do we go fight that? How do we dismantle that? And how do we stop this rush to judgment? Because right now, it's sticking people on other people. And I also feel like, you know, maybe I'm too conspiratorial theorist here and too much, you know, looking at the world situation, but we know social media is infested with Chinese and Russian bots that would really love for us to turn on each other, right? They would love, because they will benefit if Americans are divided. So I'm trying really hard not to get to that place, right, and hold on to my sanity, and not be ginned up by people who I'm not even sure are other Americans. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. Because you don't know. You don't know where these things are coming from, but, you know, it's been widely known and for a long time, right?
Oh,
how
yeah.
do they take us down from the inside?
I got caught up in an argument on X with a guy who named something like Gunter Engelman, and he's flying a big U.S. flag and all that. And he started just attacking me that the attacks didn't make much sense. They were built to sound like really horrible right-wing attacks on a feminist, right? They didn't make a whole lot of sense. And when I went and looked at his profile, I was like, oh, my God, you're a straight-up propaganda account. That's all this. I'm arguing with a bot, right? I'm arguing with, and the guy who's running this bot is probably some asshole in Russia, right? Excuse my question.
Yeah.
You know, but like, right away I was like, oh, my God, I just got ginned up, and I don't even think it's another American. I think I got ginned up by a fake propaganda account.
Yeah. And there's going to be more of that. The difficulty is, and, you know, we've talked about it with people that we've interviewed about AI, like articles and commentary on AI, and the one thing everybody always kind of ends with is the way we will always beat AI is it's not clever, it doesn't do kind of the kinds of things that we do, the inference and all that. It doesn't know how to do any of those things.
No.
And we can ferret that out because we communicate with actual people face to face. The difficulty is we have a lot of people who don't do that anymore, and they don't pick up on the facial cues. They don't even know how. So you put them in the real world, and they don't even know how. Like, people at work, they don't want to pick up the phone. They want to send, oh, I sent an email. Did you call them? Oh, well, no, I sent him an email. Pick up the phone. Like, talk to a human.
1,000% agree. My daughter said, she asked me if I had seen the Gen Alpha Stare. And I said, what the heck? I have no idea what the Gen Alpha Stare is. And she said,
yeah,
I guess
that?
These kids are, they're not able to do the social interaction and they're not able to read body language or interpret social cues. So you say something and they just stare hard at you for like 30 seconds. It's very awkward and very uncomfortable and you can't tell what's going on. And eventually they'll come back with something, but you realize they've just never been trained to engage in repartee. Right away you realize, like, oh, wow, you don't know how to do discourse. And so you just kind of go into freeze mode, you know, and stare at me. And I'm sitting here going, what the heck is happening, right? Are they having a stroke or, you know, like, what's going on with them? And what you realize is they just don't have that back-and-forth dialogue capability. They just don't have it. I don't know if it's a function of the pandemic. I don't know if it's a function of living too much in social media, right, and not in the real world. I don't know what it is. But something is very – she said something – she's a Gen Z, and she's like, there's something very different about them. And that she said, that stare is really scary. I had no idea.
Well, the hard part is that if you can't read those, if you don't routinely, like I'll read things that people write, and that's always been my world is writing. And I'll read things that people write, and I'm kind of critical. And so sometimes I'm like, well, this person, you know, is monosyllabic, and that's not probably good. But then I'll read it and I'll go, wait a minute, I don't think this is a person. This person doesn't reason like a person, doesn't write like a human. And I'm pretty sure, and there's a guy that sends out emails in a group I'm part of, and, you know, for a long time I thought, this guy doesn't write his own stuff, he's using AI for everything. Sure enough, oh yeah, I use AI for everything. It's like, okay, well, we can tell. Learn how to write.
We can. I've read some copy generated by AI, and I had the same exact response of, like, this is not something that a thinking I mean, writing, as you know, is first the act of thinking. That in order to put something down on paper and to be able to make it make sense and to hang it together in a narrative, right, and to make some points and to be able to draw a conclusion, you have had to already do the thinking before you put the pen to the paper, right?
Yeah.
So you can tell when something is coming across you, and you're like, you didn't do anything before you put this on paper. Oh, of course you didn't, because you're AI. You know, but
the hard part is these guys, like this, you know, 20-something, if he's living in that kind of a world, he's not discerning, he's not bouncing his ideas off people who say, hey, that's probably not a good idea.
I think that that is true. I think that the people that are under 25 whose brains have not finished developing, and by the way, do you know what it is that causes the final brain development from like 20 to 25? I think there's some chemical, I've forgotten the name of it, but it gets going in your brain. This is your body's, you know, like nudge to you of finished developing here. And it compels you to socialize because you finish your development through socialization. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So if you haven't had any socialization, what happens?
I think we're starting to find out what happens.
Yeah.
Right? Or if the socialization you've had is poor, then you're not going to get that full frontal development at your frontal core that you need. And there is some evidence, again, I'm not a doctor, so I want to just caveat that, but I've read some papers that I think are compelling, where they studied like the brains of narcissists and serial killers. And they have found that that frontal core, that's the reasoning part of you, the part of you that gets context and nuance, et cetera, that's almost been eviscerated in those individuals physically. It's almost non-existent, meaning the reptilian part of their brain is much stronger. So even if you were pleading for your life before a serial killer, they actually cannot see you as human. Like, they literally don't possess the physiological capabilities in the brain to see you as a human being worthy of dignity and rights in life, right? Like, it doesn't
tug on their heartstrings, as they say.
Yeah, they don't have it. And so I'm wondering, we are conducting some social experiments on very young people on mass scale, and we have no idea how this turns out, right? We have no idea, but this kind of indicator with what happened this week should be an alarm bell for everyone.
Yeah, I think of us who are not AI actually see how it is turning out. Well, Sharon, we got to take a quick break. I just noticed it's 1:27. When we come back, it's Bill's turn. But I thought I'd lighten it up. I found a couple of fun songs, and I got a couple other fun songs. So we'll have some fun songs, and then talk to our guest, Sharon Byrne, from Wolf. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked away across USA, plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Never gets tiresome for me. I wonder what AI thinks of that song. I got another one. I've got a new one. I got a new one. Got a new one for you. It's in my transgender list of songs. I'm always hunting up some new ones for you.
You always come up with the best ones.
So much good material. Actually, I went to the Wayback Machine for the next one. So all of this medication. We don't really talk about that much with you, but they talk about there was always a thing with the antidepressants, you know, that was making people go over center. That was kind of in the crosshairs for a while.
I remember that, like in the 90s with Prozac, right, where people were taking that and shooting themselves, right?
Yeah, like, right? They were going berserko, and it's like, oh, well, it's the SSRIs doing it. And now that's kind of fallen away. But there doesn't seem to be much discussion. I've read a few things about the young women that are taking heavy amounts of testosterone. It's making them kind of go nutso a little bit. It's a medical term.
We have a famous example, right? We have a very famous example that, you know, it's funny. Sometimes one of the drugs that they will prescribe for menopause, actually, is testosterone, which seems odd, but apparently as a woman goes through that change, you know, she has estrogen that drops, she has progesterone that drops, right? But she also has testosterone that drops. And women are not dominant in testosterone, obviously, that's dominant in men, but we do have some, and it does give us our energy and our fight and some other things, right? So, you know, sometimes they'll prescribe testosterone for women who, you know, are going through the menopause. And some of the women that take it report instantly. They feel more aggressive and much more sexual desire. Like instantly, they start getting that response, right? And it's the testosterone. So do you remember 2 years ago, Audrey Hale, the girl that shot up the Memphis school?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. And she was a transgender, right? And she was a female that was taking testosterone. And a bunch of us looked at each other and immediately started wondering, like, when you put girls, you know, OD them on a hormone that they were not meant to have that high of a level in, you know, and we had seen that in sports, right? We had seen that there was definitely an advantage in the Olympics given to Chinese and German women who doped, right, with testosterone to races. And there was a lot of outrage about that. But, you know, we wondered, you know, like, if you put that much testosterone into a girl's body, a still developing girl, what happens to her? Now, we know from the detransitioners, it's terrible. But they all do report a high level of rage and anger, right, than they ever had just as regular females, right? So, you know, I do think there is something to putting medications into the body that the body is not meant to run on, and certainly not those levels, and that it will do some things to you, right? That, and for all I know, you know, being on that much testosterone caused that girl to decide to pick up a firearm and go shoot the kids in the school. I thought it was terrible. I mean, it was terrible. It was very shocking and horrible. But, you know, she was definitely on a high level of testosterone when she did it.
And so what about these guys take all this medication? Are they, I mean, is anybody even looking into this? You spend a lot more time in this world than we do.
Oh,
like
yeah.
in the you know, we want updates on your work in the prisons and stuff too. I haven't been following that as closely. Like they're taking.
There is a lot happening there.
Yeah, they're taking drugs. They're giving them the transitioning drugs, right? Putting these men in women's prisons, and I mean, I guess I was going to say how's that all working out, but I guess I already know the answer.
You know, we hear a lot. Again, watching the detransitioners is very, and I hate that word, by the way. I think that they should call themselves survivors of, you know, gender insanity, and I think the term gender-affirming care has got to be the best branding for something really horrible since the Happy Meal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like the best branding I've ever seen of like, but it's gender-affirming care. It's cross-sex surgeries and hormones for children. We should not be doing that, right? So the young people that have detransitioned, and again, I'd rather call them survivors because there is no such thing as transition. You can take all the drugs you want. You can have all the procedures done that you want. It's in your DNA. Your sex is in your DNA. You cannot change it, right?
Yeah.
And so even men that have gone on the cross-sex hormones and are taking estrogen and they've managed to grow boobs, they're still men. Now, some of the younger ones have reported that they immediately started losing erections. They lost desire, you know, that they didn't feel like themselves anymore. Gosh, I wonder why, right? Because you're taking a hormone that is not meant for you, and you're overdosing on it, basically. And as you know, overdosing estrogens in women, you know, produces all kinds of things like breast and ovarian cancer, right? So this is not a good thing. We should not be shoving stuff into people's bodies that should not be there. But yes, the men lose some things too. And the question for them is, you know, is your fetish worth it? Some of them only take the estrogen long enough to grow boobs in that they can then play with, right? Cause it titillates them. This is the autogynephile set, right? That is what we used to know as transvestites, that, you know, get off sexually on the idea of them being women that are then penetrated and abused and, you know, all the things that they want to do to women. They fantasize about having those things done to themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, should I admit it makes sense?
No, it's insanity.
Maybe I should lie and say I think it makes sense, but I'm not sure.
It's actually a form of insanity, and you know it was recorded as a mental illness in the Diagnostic Statistics Manual, right, that is sort of the Bible of psychology, and it was removed recently and reclassified as transgender or gender dysphoria, right, and that is some kind of valid medical condition and requires you to take cross-sex hormones, which is all BS anyway. But you never can become the opposite sex. It's a lie. It's a terrible lie. And again, when we talk about children who haven't finished developing that reasoning, thinking brain, right, and you tell them, well, you take this seat, and you can just get right on out of that body that you don't like so much, we are doing them a terrible crime. That is a heinous crime to be put on children. We should never be doing this.
Yeah, I can't say that I disagree at all. And now they've kind of rolled that back, and that... Okay, so your organization, since that's really something you focus on all the time, this rollback of the mom who gets to take the son and turn him into a girl, and the dad loses all his rights and all that, is that getting better now?
Yes.
With some of these changes?
Yeah, yes and no. So welcome to the American system. We got here because Congress didn't do anything. And so the president issued a series of executive orders in January that forbid child transitioning and surgeries, right, that ordered men out of women's prisons, and that, basically said there are only two sexes in the United States, male and female. We're not recognizing anything else. Stop putting this on your passport, right? You could get your passport altered, right? And at one point, the Biden administration was offering an X on your passport for sex. And so
that's terrific security.
Right? They ordered the end of men playing in girls' sports, right? A slew of executive orders. And we were all, so relieved, and that lasted 4 minutes until they all got blocked in court, basically, except for the sports one, right? They've all been blocked in court. I have to give props to the Department of Education and Linda Mahan and Harmeet Dhillon, the women in that department, which is going to be done away with, but... they have basically gone after California. They've gone after schools in Minneapolis. They've gone after schools in Virginia and told them they're out of compliance with Title IX by continuing to let boys play in girls' sports, right? And they're threatening to withhold funding. So I have to give the feds some props here. They are trying really hard. There are 4 bills coming through Congress that will do some of this work, such as getting the men out of women's prisons, right? And so we've been encouraging supporters to contact their congressional reps and get them to sign on to those bills and get them passed. And then we went to court ourselves 2 weeks ago because this will make you crazy. There are so many court cases called Doe versus Bondi that have been filed to stop the president's executive orders. Most of the Doe v. Bondi cases are actually related to immigration. But 3 of them were related to men and women's prisons. And we got a chance to intervene and put a brief in, and we listened to the case being heard in the D.C. appellate court last Friday. And I feel like it's going to go our way. GLAAD brought the lawsuit to block the executive order. GLAAD used to stand for decent things. Right?
What's GLAAD again?
Gays and lesbians against, discrimination and defamation, right? They used to stand for pretty... Yeah, they used to be pretty, they're the group that tried really hard to get gay marriage fit, done in the United States. They've moved to being an all trans all the time group, like the ACLU, right? And so they filed a lawsuit to block the executive order. We listened to the court case. I feel like the appellate judges, are gonna go our way. They were interesting. There was 3 of them. One was trying to figure out how to get out of even hearing the case. One of them was clearly on our side because he was saying things like, why are biological males in women's prisons? And GLAAD brought the case on behalf of 19 individuals who some say could pass for women, that they should allow them to stay in the women's prison and not transfer them to the men. Well, that judge said, well, how come the other 1,400 were already transferred back? The other 1,400 men were already transferred back. Did you know?
No.
1,400 men got put back in the men's prison from the women's prison that said that they were women. He said, why do those not matter? So we could tell he was on our side. The female judge was a real disappointment. She was trying to carry the water for GLAAD. It was really disappointing. So I feel like, we're going to wait and see how that case comes out. Our brief was the only brief that spoke from the voice of women who are incarcerated with men. No other brief did. And I'm glad we got it in. I was very proud of our legal team for getting that in and pushing back on this and saying, this is cruel and inhuman treatment, right?
Yeah, you're trapped in there. You're trapped in there. And then, by the way, here's, yeah.
Oh, it violates Article 8 of the Constitution, cruel and inhuman punishment, right? It violates Article 11 of the United Nations minimum treatment for standards for prisoners, which is, basically, men and women have to be kept in separate facilities. So we're not And California legislated this. California legislates that you put men in women's prisons. I still can't believe we did that. Okay. I still can't believe that Governor Newsom signed it.
I want to be shocked, but I'm not. We have to take a really quick break. So we'll go to the Wayback Machine with Joni Mitchell from the 60s, a song that kind of makes sense. And then we'll zoom forward to the 80s with one that you'll never guess. I should make you guess, but we've run out of time. And I saw it in an Uncle Buck clip from an Uncle Buck movie, and I was like, yes, that is the best song ever. Anyway, spoiler alert, our guest is Sharon Byrne, and trans rights are killing us, honestly. Time to get with the program. You can find all the archives and stuff at
wethepeopleradio.us.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, oh no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, or ands, or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard at three? I knew that this was meant to be. Now I
heard. I went up to this girl. She said, hi, my name is Sheena. I thought she'd be good to go with a little funky cold Medina. She said, I like a drink. I said, I'll go get it. And then a couple of sips, she go licked her lips, and I knew that she was with it. So I took her to my crib, and everything went well as planned. And when she got undressed, it was a big old mess. Sheena was a man. So I threw her mouth. I don't fool around with no Oscar Mayer wiener. You must be sure that your girl is pure for the funky cold Medina. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no plans with a man. This is the 80s, and Loaf is down with the ladies. No joke.
I had totally forgotten that song and that line. That was great.
This is the 80s. I'm all about the ladies. I'm like, what happened? Okay, bottom line is I didn't actually ever know what the heck the guy was saying. I just always thought the song was kind of fun. And so I'm watching some, it was like a bunch of clips of John Candy. And that was in Uncle Buck, remember?
I had no memory of that.
I did. And the minute the song played, I'm like, that's like, I got to look that song up. So I pulled it up on YouTube, and it seems like everything has lyrics now on there. Unlike when we were, you know, listening to a lot of this growing up, if you didn't buy the album and it wasn't printed inside the album cover, like, you never knew what they were saying. So anyway, I pull it up, and I'm watching the lyrics as the guy's talking, and I thought, oh, wow. Sheena was a man. I was like, well, Sharon's going to like this. I got to get her.
I love it.
I've been sitting on that for 6 months. It's been just absolutely driving me. I wanted to email it to you, and I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do it. Anyway.
I totally forgot that.
Right? So back in the 80s, we knew, you know, Sheena was a man, and we could call it. So if you need any music for your court cases, there you go.
When I first learned what a transsexual was, do you know when I first found out what that was?
I'm afraid to ask.
Okay. I was 12 years old. Oh. The year was 1980, and the movie Dress to Kill came out, where Michael, oh, God, what's his name? He's so brilliant, the British actor. Michael Caine, it is. It is him. He plays that cross-dresser. And
mm-hmm.
That's when I first... I didn't even remember, because I didn't see it until I was actually much older, that the Psycho movie also had featured that cross-dresser, right? That murdered everybody. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Was a, Yeah, Norman Bates liked to dress up in his mother's clothes, right? And but I wouldn't see that movie until I was much older because I think I saw it in like a film studies class or something. It had long gone off screen, you know, and off TV before I came around. But I do remember I watched HBO that had just come out, and I stayed up late one night and I watched something I really should not have been watching as a 12-year-old. And that's when I first learned what cross-dressers were and that they were really scary.
Yeah, and they want to normalize all that and have been normalizing all that for, especially for children. It always freaks me out, all these people that will take their little kids to these, you know, drag queen story hour and all this stuff and, you know, run up and put money in their shirt or whatever. It's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's the normalization of fetish and kink, and it is completely wrong, and it has gone in so many bad areas. There was a... Oh, gosh, this came around about 6 months ago. There was a, I think it's called Kinabuki or something like that. It's just Japanese art of binding. And what you do is, you know, you submit to this binding and your lover, you know, puts you in all these contorted positions with ropes, et cetera. And so somebody in Australia had thought it was a really good idea to put up a giant mural of that, of a woman basically being hung upside down, you know, on her knees, being bound with her feet, you know, up against her butt and, you know, in strange contortionist positions. And, you know, little kids were going to be walking by that.
Yikes.
Like, what are you thinking? You know, like, I've been to plenty of drag queen shows. They're hilarious. They're campy, whatever. I would never have taken a 2-year-old to one of those things. That is adult entertainment, right? Like, that is what that is. That is not for kids. And I think it's wrong to normalize that. I think it's wrong because you're teaching, especially young people, again, who don't have context, right, of, you know, like, take all the guardrails off, kiddos. You know, this is all normal and good, except the day that it's not good because the pervert shows up, right? Like, it's not okay to do this.
But the other part of it is regular, you know, for the most part, your love life, your sex life, all that is a little bit mundane in the real world as life goes on. It's not like it, you know, it's just not weird and fireworksy like that. You know, forever and ever. And if it is, what the heck are you doing with your time? Said the girl who went to Catholic school in Connecticut. So it might have just been my upbringing. But you look at that and you think, well, then normal seems like they're doing it wrong. You know, seems like their life isn't exciting enough.
It does. And, you know, because of the way that the internet works, right, there's no filtering. There's no, cutting anything off, right? I mean, any 11-year-old can dial up a rape video, right? Like, there's no filtering. There was a really good couple of documentaries that just came out from Exodus Cry. And I happened to watch both of them. And one was on porn and one was on prostitution. And they took an interesting angle with this. It's not, if you'd asked me to invest in the film, I would have walked away from it. The angle that they took was instead of on looking at the women survivors, what they did was they interviewed normie men. These were just everyday normie guys, married with children, worked as a firefighter, you know, preached in the church. You know, they were pastors in their community, et cetera. And they walked you through how they got sucked in through the porn filter all the way into basically going to commit rape, you know, on a woman. Or they were off buying women that they even knew were trafficked women, that did not have control of the situation. And it gave them no pause. And they felt like because they'd seen these things in porn, when they bought the woman to go have sex with her, whatever she was wanting to do or not do was immaterial. They were going to act out what they saw in the porn film. And this was a very humanizing look. I just want to make that clear. It was a very humanizing look that you didn't, you know, feel sorry for these men, you know, but you understood how a regular, normal Joe could get sucked down that hole so far that he lost his wife, he lost his job, he lost everything, you know, in pursuing this. And I think that's really important for us to think about of, like, what is the media that you're being exposed to and what is it doing to your mind, you know, and how far is it taking you out of that we always say, well, there's a difference between what happens online and in real life. No, those are getting blurred. They're getting very blurred. And I think it's very, again, we're conducting mass social experiments with no idea how it turns, you know, out. And some of the guys reported that the porn algorithms in particular, you know, would start showing you more and more like really violent stuff or even stuff involving kids for you to get the same hit. The algorithm is geared to push more and more violence or push trans porn on you. Pornhub tried that experiment. they started sending more and more trans porn through the algorithm to young men to see if they could change their sexuality. And now trans porn is one of the most hot. Did you know? Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a thing called, what'd you call it, Pornhub?
Pornhub. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pornhub is the devil. It's a Canadian company. They operate around the world. They'll let you upload anything. You can upload a human trafficking video, a rape video, a child assault video. You can upload anything to them. And they do not
show it.
They do not check it.
It's not. No.
It's because they're a Canadian firm. The ability to regulate this is very hard. The French government actually just lost in the French Supreme Court against Pornhub. That because Pornhub is operated off of Cyprus, in the European Union, France could not ban Pornhub out of France because one member state cannot control what another member state does in the European Union. Same problem in the United States, by the way. So what we've been doing is pushing, Wolf has been pushing, age verification legislation, and we've got it done in 26 states. And as soon as it basically tests you, are you over 18, right? And it will not let you in unless you verify your age. Now, you're not supposed to keep the data. You're not supposed to, you know, watch what people are watching. But you have to verify that you're over 18 to enter the porn site. We helped pass that law. We just defended it before the Supreme Court in January, and won. And I got to tell you, that dropped porn usage in the state by about 80%. Pornhub themselves reported that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, they've been very resistant to taking down rape videos. They've had police call them and say, look, you know, I'm trying to help this victim, and you keep letting that video of her rape get uploaded. And Pornhub's like, so what? They were not responsive at all. So this is the direction the U.S. has been trying to go in. So has the European Union, because they've all started recognizing, like, this is actually sick material that's been uploaded. It's not Playboy. It's not anything you ever grew up seeing in porn. It's super sick. And, you know, in the U.K., 14-year-old girls started showing up at the hospital with, you know, strangulation marks on their necks and anal tearing because their boyfriends were watching this kind of porn, and this is what women like. And it's terrible. Like, this is, we are not doing right by training people this way, but that's
what. And then we're surprised when they go berserk and do, you know, bad things.
Violent things. Yes, very much so. We are very surprised by that, and we should not be. We are, most of us are not navigating the worlds that our kids are navigating, right? They are not. And so you're kind of blind. And back in the day, Aaron, you know, you and I'd have to go to the park to go meet the pervert. Now the pervert comes right in on the phone, and you can be sitting next to your mom, you know, and the pervert comes right in over the phone, right? So you don't have to leave the house, right, to find the pervert. They find you. And that's this world that we've created. It's really a sick world. So we should not be surprised when young people, I'm not excusing anything that guy did. I'm not in any way justifying, you know, the murder of Charlie Kirk. I was very shocked and appalled and upset by it. But I'm understanding that when you push kids into kind of a sewer of material, and it's not regulated, and it's not, you know, you have no control over what they're looking at, or who's talking to them, or
right,
who's, you know, trying to message them, we should expect terrible outcomes. There's just no way this ends well.
Yeah.
Well, and the problem is it's been out there long enough now where it's starting to come to fruition, and you can't shut it off overnight. I mean, these kids were already programmed, and, you know, they're just getting started, more or less.
Yeah, they're all, you know, legal adults, right? They move out of the house, and, you know, I mean, yes, they're your kids forever, but not in that way.
No, not in that way. And I think, you know, I want to sound a little upbeat here at the end. One call that I would like to put out to all my fellow countrymen and women is, you know, please don't jump on each other right now. You know, we're getting very ginned up, and pointing fingers at everybody. It's the left. It's the right. It's the universities. It's, you know, like, this is not helpful, right? This is actually not helpful. I don't want us to turn on each other, and I especially don't want us being ginned up by foreign actors who would love to see us at each other's throats, right? Like, I want us to take a deep, hard look at, like, what have we been up to, and what is the world that our kid is navigating, and how can I do something, you know, about that world? And there is a lot of good legislation coming through that will help us do some of this.
Yeah.
Some of it's coming through Congress, some of it's coming through the states, you know, support organizations like Women's Liberation Front that try to get at the scourge of this stuff.
Yeah, and bottom line is we have to stand up, step up, and talk to actual people, you know.
That's the other thing.
Get out from behind your computer and talk to a real human. Hey, Sharon, we are fast approaching the news update. and the end of the program. Thank you so much for coming on with us, and we're glad you were able to make it this morning or this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
You're the best. All right. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got minds to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.